want to welcome you all to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We're very glad of your presence. We pray the Lord will bless our fellowship together. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. We're thinking of this day being the commencement of our week of ministry meetings, and we want to know the Lord's blessing, hear his voice. Remember that the Savior going to Emmaus, and it tells us in the verse 31 of Matthew 20, or of Luke 24, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and they vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. So we want that to be our experience right through this week. We want to be able to make this statement ourselves when the week is over, that our hearts burned within us while the Savior talked with us by the way, and while he, again the Lord Jesus, opened to us the scriptures. So to that end, we're going to sing 182 as our opening hymn. We want to make this our prayer at the outset of this week. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. So the hymn 182, and we're standing together as we sing, please. Let's just pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee today for the Bible. We praise thee that we have the scriptures. We thank you that it's pleased thee to bless us with your word in our own language. We thank you, Father, that we're able to say from our very childhood, from our very infancy, that we've had the Scriptures. We're able to say with Timothy that from a child we've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Remember that you said to Joshua that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We want to pray, Father, for your hand upon this incoming week. We thank you for these nights set aside to hear the word of God, for the ministry of the Scriptures here in this house. We want to pray, Father, that there will be a highway for the word of God. We pray that your word will have free course in all our hearts and lives. We want to pray that you'll prepare our hearts. We ask thee, Father, to give us the ears that are necessary to hear the things that the Spirit will say to us. We pray, Father, that our ears will be open to the voice of God. We want to ask, Father, that you would speak to us, even from the very commencement of the meeting today, right through to Friday evening. Lord, we would ask that you would speak to us in every meeting. We pray as we gather in your house with the word of God in our hands. We want to pray that this will be a speaking book. We ask, Father, that every person that comes to the meetings will be spoken to, that you'll have a word for each one. We want to pray, Father, that not only will you speak to us, but we want to pray that you would change our lives. We want to pray that you'll shape our lives into the image of Christ. We pray, Father, that we would become more like our Savior, more conformed to the image of your dear Son. So we ask thee, Father, mold us and make us after thy will. We pray, Father, that this might be a week of meetings that changes our lives and our walk with God and our dedication to Christ and to his work and to his service. We remember Mr. Johnson, give him journeying mercies down each evening. We pray that you'll give him prosperous journeys. We pray, Father, that you'll keep him in health and strength. We want to thank you for the gifts and talents that you've given to him, those gifts of ministry and opening up the word of God. We pray that you'll use your servant in our midst during this week. Our prayer is that he would be a channel in your hand. We pray that he'll come as the Lord's messenger to each one of us. We pray that you'll speak through him. We ask, Father, lead us each on a little further in the Christian life and in our walk with God and in our knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. Especially, Father, we pray that you would give us a fuller understanding of our Savior, of his love for us, of his death and his sacrifice, of what he did for us at Calvary and what he's doing for us even now in the glory, seated there at thy right hand, and that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Remember that the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, said to Peter that Satan hath desired to sift thee, that he might have thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And Lord, we praise thee today. We rejoice to know that our Savior is pleading and praying for us, that our very names are engraved on the palms of his hands. So we plead that you'll draw us closer to Christ. We pray as a church that you'll lead us on a little further. Bless the work and witness of this church in this city. We pray, Father, that you would give to us a stirring of God. Remember in the days of David, those stirrings of God coming, of God's presence, of God's power, the stirrings in the mulberry trees. O God, come into this city in the same manner and in the same fashion. We ask thee, Father, that you might remember the nation of Israel today. We think, Father, of the wicked attacks that have been made upon that nation. We pray that you would watch over Israel. Remember the words of the psalmist, those words that apply directly to Israel, that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We think, Father, of how Israel seems to have been caught off guard in these attacks, but we know that that thou art watching over them at all times. We pray for the hand of God to be upon the nation. We remember what the Lord said to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, that he would fight for them. And Lord, we would pray that you might do that for your chosen people, even at this time. We remember, Father, those Jewish people out of Christ, that veil upon their hearts, even to this day in the reading of the Scriptures. We pray, Father, that Jewish people would be brought to Christ, the gospel to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Give us a vision and a burden of the work to be done in reaching the lost house of Israel. Remember that the Savior said that he must go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. O God, we pray that you would send forth missionaries to work among the Jewish people. And our cry today, we re-echo that prayer of Paul's those many years ago. Our heart's desire, our prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Lord, hear these our prayers and abide with us through the meetings here today. And we ask now that you would descend by your Spirit, fill each one of us that know Christ. Give to us that blood-bought gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're singing again together. It's the 14th part of the Psalm 119. It's from verse 105 through to 112. Thy word is to my feet a lamp, and to my path a light. Sworn have I, and I will perform to keep thy judgments right. So the Psalm 119, the verse 105 to 112, we're standing to sing, and we're singing to the tune French, please. Thank you.
Going to read just a short portion together in the Scriptures, please. We're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8.
the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin to read together just at the 16th verse. Just a short section brings us down to the end of verse 21. So Luke chapter 8, the 16th verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts today. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these, which hear the word of God and do it. Just to emphasize that final statement, are these which hear the word of God and do it. So we pray the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We have a certificate just to present to our sister Hannah Carson this morning. So you remember there was a baptismal service a couple of Tuesday nights ago in the Tandragee Church. They kindly invited us to participate in that with them. We appreciated that. We have joined with the Tandragee Church before in their baptismal services, and we're very thankful for their willingness to make it available to others. And we're very thankful for the use of their facilities. We want to acknowledge that publicly in the service today. It generally has been our practice when folk from the church have been baptized to give them a certificate. It's nice for them to have it just to mark that occasion and to look back on just as an acknowledgement. It's good to be able to remember and have something to remember that occasion by. So we're going to just present that to Hannah just now, if she'd like to come up. And we're going to take a wee photograph. She's going to take the plunge again next summer. The big day will be coming up. She'll not have to do it on her own just that day. So just to read to you, Armagh Free Presbyterian Church baptismal certificate. This is to certify that on Tuesday the 26th of September 2023, in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, Hannah Carson, in obedience to the Lord's command, passed through the waters of baptism. It's assigned by the minister, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Well done. The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
In the future too. We'll take a wee look. Yes, you turn that round. And thank you very much, Ken. Thank you, Hannah. You'll have to get used to the smiling for the camera. Preparation for the big day. So we welcome everyone along to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We're glad to see all that have assembled. The scriptures exhort us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we're glad to be in the Lord's house, glad that you're with us. We welcome all that are visiting in the meeting today. Pray that the Lord will bless you as you gather with us. It's good to see the children and the young people here present. And we're thankful for your attendance at Sunday school and Bible class today already. And we're also glad to have those that are joining with us on the live stream. We pray that as you listen to the service, it will be of help and encouragement to you today as well. Do remember, please, the service tonight, 6:30, the time of prayer in the hall, 6:30, our evening gospel service. Remember that it is the commencement of our ministry meetings with the Reverend Johnson. So we're looking forward to that very much indeed. Remember that we had planned these meetings for about 3 years ago. They were originally planned for 2020, but because of the restrictions that were in place at that time, the meetings had to be postponed. So Mr. Johnson is going to speak to us on the garments of the High Priest. Those are subjects that Mr. Johnson excels in. So we're very much looking forward to those meetings. He's going to bring the life-size model of Aaron. He has provided us with notes for every subject, so we'll print those off, and you'll be able to receive those as you come into the meetings night by night. We've prepared a little folder, a little holder, just for you to put the notes into as well as you receive them. So you'll be given that tonight as you come to the service, or on any of the other nights if you're not able to receive it this evening. So do pray for the Lord's blessing upon the meetings. We encourage you to make them known. We especially encourage you to avail of them, of the opportunity of having Mr. Johnson with us for this week. We want it to be a special time. Remember the encouragement it will be to everybody, but especially to our brother if there's a good number that comes along and attends those meetings. So it's the linen tunic that he's beginning with tonight, and every one of the garments will be found on the model of Aaron that he brings along to the service with him. And then those meetings will continue Monday through to Friday, 8 o'clock each night in the hall. We will have a time of prayer before the meetings in the minister's room. We'll do that each night from approximately 7:30 and around that or slightly after it. So if you can, we encourage you to come along a little earlier and join with us for the seasons of prayer. Tuesday night at 7:15, both bright hours. Remember that here in the hall, down in the band hall in Killaloe. Friday night is the youth fellowship is coming along to give support to the ministry meetings. So we do want to encourage the young people to come. Good opportunity for you to meet and to hear Mr. Johnson as well. We're going to have a wee cup of tea, a wee bit of supper on Friday night for everyone. Nice way to finish up, just for a little time of fellowship at the end of the week. We'd appreciate the help of the ladies with that, but we'll say a wee bit more about that as the week continues. The next Lord's Day, the 15th of October, 10:40, the Sunday school and Bible classes, the meetings at the usual times, 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. I hope to be the preacher. And remember, please, the half hour of prayer. We encourage you, set that aside and come to the seasons of prayer. Monday the 16th, that's Monday week at 8, is the ladies' meeting. That's the first of the ladies' meetings of the new season. The speaker on that occasion will be Mrs. Danielle Boyle, missionary to Mexico. Remember, we had the Boyles with us at the midweek service a few weeks back. So our sister's going to come and speak to us that night, tell us a little about life in Mexico, living in Mexico, and bring a little message to us from the Word of God. And she'll tell us a little bit about herself, tell us just a little bit of her background. So remember that meeting, and please make that known. The building fund offerings taken over the harvest weekend came to £1,553. Sincere thanks for your generous giving. Remember, you can still contribute to that building fund offering if you haven't or didn't have opportunity to do so last weekend, mark the envelope for the building fund or use one of the building fund envelopes that's provided. There's a youth rally tonight in the Auchnacloy Church. That's at 8:45. Mr. David Johnson, the Reverend Johnson's son David, is to be the speaker from the Accolade Church, and the singer is Mrs. Kelly Hannah. So we encourage the young people, if you can, go along and give support to that. The Reverend McIntyre, the minister of our church in Clocker Valley, has produced a booklet on the Williamite Revolution, Making Modern Britain. So we want to commend that to you. So they're just £1 each. There is a sheet in the porch. So if you do take one, put your name down and let us know when the booklet has been paid for. The Youth Council have a couple of events for the young people next Saturday. They're going to do some outreach at the Northern Ireland football match next Saturday in Belfast. So to do that, they're meeting at the Tyndale Church at 12:30. And then they're having one of their Bible studies. Remember, they did that last winter, continuing it again this winter, generally on a monthly basis. So a Bible study next Saturday night at 7:30 in the Lisburn Church. And that will be on the subject of the charismatic movement. The Presbytery Education Board is holding an information night. It's entitled RSE, the Facts and the Christian Education Alternative. That's been held in the Portadown Town Hall on Monday night week, the 16th of October. That's one of the various rallies that they're holding in a number of locations around the province. So the Government Morals Committee of the Presbytery have issued some guidance to parents on the RSE consultation. So there's some copies of that document in the porch of the church, if that would be of help or interest to any of the families and parents in the congregation. If all of the copies that are there disappear, let me know and we'll be able to provide a few more. Remember that the Anna Long Church is holding their men's conference in a couple of weeks' time, Saturday the 21st of October, starting at 9:30. The details is on their Facebook. They're dealing with the subject of the holiness of God. There is going to be lunch served. The cost is £16.50. Remember, if you'd like lunch and you're planning to go, you need to contact the Reverend Harris to indicate that, and you need to do that before next Saturday. That's Saturday the 14th of October. Presbytery met on Friday night down in Castle Derg. The first meeting when the Reverend Murray chaired the entire presbytery. All of our three new elders have now been officially welcomed into the presbytery. Generally, new elders, when they attend for the first time, that is noted. Their names are mentioned, they're asked to stand, and there's a round of applause that is given just to make them feel at welcome in the presbytery. So all of our new elders have now been officially welcomed. Just some matters relating to the missionary work. There's a statement that the presbytery approved to be distributed among the churches to be read in relation to the Bible Christian Faith Church and the Christian Academy there in Kenya. So let me just read the statement to you. With the permission of presbytery, we provide this statement to clarify the situation with the Kenya Christian Academy. We are conscious that there is some uncertainty amongst our congregations about our relationship with the Kenya school and its current status. The construction and operation of the Kenya school over the past 20 years was funded and supported by the Mission Board through the Bible Christian Faith Church, and greatly benefited from the work of both Margaret Russell and Noreen McAfee. Over the past few years, the school has faced some significant changes, which resulted in costs escalating and standards deteriorating in the secondary school. The Mission Board provided a financial analysis of the issues, and the Kenya Board of Management conducted their own review, which both showed that the secondary school was unsustainable. Despite these reviews, the Kenya Board of Management refused to take the necessary decisions to scale down and close the secondary school in order to safeguard the primary school. Over the past 3 years, the Mission Board developed and presented three different plans to allow our funding to be reinstated with proper accountability, reporting and representation. Unfortunately, the leadership of the Bible Christian Faith Church have successively rejected all three proposals. In light of this situation, we have now formally brought our association with the Kenya School to a close. This has been a very difficult period for this work, and we are saddened that our association has been terminated. But we remember fondly the work that was carried out at the school, both spiritually and academically. We pay tribute to the faithfulness of all the workers, including our missionaries, who laboured in the school over many years to bring the gospel message to hundreds of young lives. So that's a statement approved by the presbytery to be read to our congregations today, a statement from the board, just to give a little bit of background, but to make everybody aware that our association with the Christian Academy in Kenya has now terminated, has now been brought to a close. Also, on Friday night, some new missionary candidates, David McCauley and Glenn Hamilton, had applied for missionary service under the Mission Board. David and his family to Uganda, Glenn and his family to serve in Kenya. So the board had processed those applications, and after the board processes them, they have to be approved and ratified by the presbytery. So they were presented to the presbytery in the Mission Board's report by the Reverend Mercer on Friday evening. And both applications were approved wholeheartedly by the presbytery. They will now be engaging in deputation meetings. The Reverend Greer is Glenn's deputation secretary to book his meetings. The Reverend Jonathan Crane been appointed as Dave's deputation secretary. So in this incoming week especially, they will be seeking to book up meetings for both of those brethren. We would be hopeful they would be able to start those meetings in November, or as early in November as possible. So they'll be engaging in those meetings just to make known their burden, the call of God, to raise the necessary prayerful and practical support for them and their families as they prepare in the will of the Lord to go to the mission field next year. So we do look forward to having both of them with us here in Armagh at our midweek meeting. But we make you aware of that. We're encouraged by the development. A number of years ago, the Reverend Harris encouraged us in the board to pray for new missionaries to be raised up, particularly in the light that we were conscious of some of our missionaries reaching the retirement age and the vacancies that that would leave. And he encouraged us especially to pray for five new missionaries. So far, if you count the Kerskadans, we've had three new missionaries, and we have some others in the process, some other applications that are being processed at present, that the details of those will be made known just in due course. So we're thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness and prayer that has been answered. As a congregation, we want to express our congratulations to Grace Nugent and to John Lucas on their engagement in this past week. This week, Grace turned 26, so she was engaged on her 26th birthday. So we're very pleased for them. We want, as a church, to assure them of our prayers as they seek to make their plans for their future life together. Also, just to emphasise some folk that need our prayers, remember the Quinn family, Richard and Grace, and the children. The children have all been unwell during this past week, Annie Grace especially. She has shingles in her mouth, so she's been suffering quite a bit of pain. It's been very difficult. They're hopeful that she has turned the corner on that, but they would appreciate your prayers very much indeed. Remember Matthew too, as he continues his recovery from his recent treatment, and pray that that treatment will have good effect. Remember Wesley Dalzell, Wesley's been experiencing some difficulty with a chest infection. You know, with the treatment that he's been receiving, his immune system would be weak. So his treatment has been stopped for the time being until his chest clears. Remember, Wesley and that as well. Ella Rose, her condition isn't just as good, hasn't just been as good in the last couple of weeks. So that's a cause for concern. So remember Ella Rose, and remember they're still waiting on an appointment for a scope down in Belfast. So pray that that would come through very soon. And remember Tracy Anderson in her need and her condition. John and Helen are going over again very soon just to spend a little bit more time and give support. So we commend them and Tracy especially to you for your ongoing prayers as well. We're going to turn to some verses of another hymn just briefly before we come to the Word of God. It's 192. The Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. We praise thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern to our footsteps shines on from age to age. So 192, please. We'll just sing the first two verses and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Appropriate those words there at the end of verse 2, in the light of our studies in the week ahead. It is the heaven drawn picture of Christ, the living Word. And we pray that we'll see much of Christ in this study that is before us. Let's just seek the Lord together. Father, we lift our hearts to thee at this time. We're praying that you'll remember the congregation here. We ask thee, Father, to be near to each one, especially those in need. We ask you to remember Matthew, continue to strengthen him. We pray, Father, that you'd remember the Quinn children just at this time as well. Lord, we ask you to keep your good hand upon each one of them. Remember Annie Grace especially. May she know the touch of God just at this time. We want to pray that very soon that she might be restored again to full health and to strength. Lord, we're mindful of each one that is unwell. We pray that they'll know the good hand of God resting upon them. We want to pray for Tracy. I ask that you might strengthen her. We pray that you'll be with John and Helen too as they go across just in these coming days. We remember little Ella Rose as well. We pray for the good hand of God just to to be upon her also at this time. And Lord, we pray that that appointment very soon would open up just in coming days. Lord, we want to ask you to remember Grace and John. We do thank you for their engagement. We commit them to thee, their future together, their plans as they seek to make those. May they know the hand of God upon them, guiding them and blessing them, even in all that they will do. Lord, we're mindful today as well of the Irwin family, just of Clonroot. Pray that you might be near to them, joy in the girls and the family circle in their sudden loss and grief and bereavement, and ask that they will be conscious of the nearness of the Lord, of his presence, of his strength and of his comfort through these days of great loss. O God, hear our prayers, and we pray that you'll abide with us now as we linger on together around the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. We're taking this morning as our text the words of that 18th verse, Luke 8 and verse 18. The scriptures tell us the words of the Saviour, "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." So especially to emphasise the opening verse, I want you to think of the week before us, the Word of God coming each night. We pray that you'll endeavour to do that. But here's a timely word of exhortation, of counsel for us from the Saviour as we come to a week of ministry meetings. Take heed. Here's something to pay attention to. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. We want to think for a few minutes of the question, how to respond to God's word. If you think of it, it is true. The regular attender at the Lord's house, and we want to impress upon you the importance of that, coming regularly to the meetings. But the regular attender at the Lord's house hears many messages every year. On average, you would listen to more than 100. Or let me rephrase that and say that on average, you should listen to more than 100. If you think of two every week, over 52 weeks, that's more than 100 per year in itself. If you take into account midweek meetings, gospel missions, ministry meetings, funerals and weddings and so on, the total then is much higher. So it's clear, men and women, you hear many messages, you hear many sermons from year to year. So the question is, and the question we want you to consider very carefully, what should your response be to every one of those messages, to every sermon that you hear? Now remember, there will be messages that you won't like. There will be messages that sometimes you don't understand or understand as fully as you would want. There will be messages that you don't agree with. There are different views on various doctrines and passages in the Word of God. There will be messages that you will hear that you've never heard before. Remember, like the Athenians, when Paul preached in Athens, it was some new thing. So sometimes you hear a message on a subject that will be new. You'll have never heard that subject touched upon before. There might even be messages that you would say, "I didn't get much from that message today." There's some messages that will really speak and convict you, and there will be others that there'll maybe not be much challenge. There will maybe not be much profit or much power that will come to your hearts through them. So different types of messages with different results, different effects. But the question is, how should you respond as a child of God? Can I warn you this morning, brethren and sisters, we need to be careful that we don't become professional listeners. There's a great danger of that in church circles, professional listeners. That you don't just become so familiar with the routine that coming to the Lord's house just becomes a ritual. You come to church and you sit through the meeting and you walk out the door and you go home and you never think another thing. You never give another thought to what you heard in the house of God. James in his epistle speaks about those Christians who are forgetful hearers. That's a very interesting description. And I wonder, is that true of you? Is that your response? You give the message, you give the word of God, no more thought, no more consideration after you leave the meeting, maybe even in the meeting itself. If you were asked at 2 o'clock this afternoon, what was the message on in church this morning? What was the subject? What was the text? Sometimes, you know, people say when they go from it, that was a great meeting this morning. And somebody would say to them, well, what was the subject? Well, does not often happen. Can't answer, can't remember. Forgetful hearers. Can I stress to you your responsibility to the message? Your responsibility to the word of God that you've heard. It doesn't end the moment that the preacher says amen at the close of the service. Often that's our attitude. We've heard what has to be said and that's it. We think our responsibility is finished. The fact is, at that point, when amen is said and the meeting is over, at that point, your responsibility to the word of God that you've heard has only just begun. And that's the outlook that we need, brethren and sisters. There's a question sometimes that's asked, when does the service start? Well, the service starts the moment the meeting ends. Sometimes we are thinking the other way. The service starts at 11:30 or 6:30 or whatever. And often that's what's meant when the question's asked, when does the service start? Well, your service for Christ starts the moment the meeting ends. That's how you should respond when you hear a message from God's word. There might be many ways you want to respond to a message that you've heard. In Matthew 18, if you read down the chapter, the servant there took his colleague by the throat. So there's many ways we like to respond. There might be many thoughts in your heart and mind, but what is right, brethren and sisters? What's scriptural? What scriptural response should be given by those who are the Lord's, those who profess the name of Christ? So let me suggest some answers to you how to respond to the word of God. The first I'll emphasize is searching. The question is, when a message is preached, when you have heard a message, have you ever taken time privately to go over the message again? For example, the references quoted, have you ever taken time to look them up? Checked that they were quoted accurately, explained properly? Ever taken the time to do that? Remember, that's something that's encouraged in the Bible, in the Word of God itself. The Savior exhorted people during his earthly ministry, search the Scriptures. Can I bring that challenge to your heart this morning? And the idea that he gives there is to search minutely, to search diligently. Remember the Bereans, more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily. Can I ask you to take a moment, reflect, look back since last Sunday, 7 days. Did you search the Scriptures daily? Did you look through the Word of God every day during the past 7? So what an example they set. They searched the Scriptures. Not now and again when there's a bit of a controversy on, but they searched the Scriptures daily. The idea was they didn't just blindly accept all that was said, even though it was an apostle that brought the message. They tested Paul's message by the Scriptures. And remember, in those days, in the book of Acts, it was the Old Testament Scriptures that they were searching. So they examined it with great care. They examined the message that was given with great care in the light of the Word of God. And note that they were commended for what they did. It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So hearing a message, brethren and sisters, think of this incoming week, the six special messages, studies. Hearing a message should be followed by searching. Hearing a message should lead you to more, to further study of the Word of God. You say that you would like to, but you can't remember the message. Well, let me point out, it might help if you took a few notes. We will provide notes for the messages in this incoming week. Maybe if you took a few notes, brought a notebook. At the pastor's conference in Uganda at the end of August, we gave every man that came a notebook and a pen, encouraged them to take down notes, write down the headings. You don't have to write down the whole message, word for word. You can write down the headings, the references, some of the comments, some of the truths stated, the ones especially that touched your heart. I'd encourage you to do that. Or buy one of the CDs from the brethren at the media desk. Listen to the message again. Maybe one of the recordings of it up on the internet. Maybe there's something you missed. Maybe your mind wandered at a vital time and you missed a vital part of the message. And that's the reason maybe you didn't get the full picture, the full understanding, maybe the reason why you took the message up wrong. So I want to encourage you to do that. You might reply, well, that's too much work. That's too much effort. Can I remind you what Paul said to young Timothy? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. The word workman, you generally think of a workman standing at the side of the road with a jackhammer or a pick or a shovel. Well, Paul says that those that study the scriptures, they are workmen and women. And we're to study in such a way that we're not going to be ashamed as far as our knowledge of the Word of God is concerned. Bible study, men and women, contrary to what most people think, is not handy. It's not easy. The Bible teaches that it's work. It takes time and effort. If you're going to profit from it, you will have to work at it. You will have to labor in the Word. Remember, it speaks of those that labor in the Word and doctrine. The word again, labor, connected with the study of the Scriptures. J.C. Ryle said that you should read your Bible like those digging for treasure. You should really put work and effort into the reading and into the study. So there must be a searching of the Scriptures. That should be one of your responses to the Word of God. A second I'll mention is supplicating. When you hear a message, one thing that you should do is that you should go home and you should pray about it. Pray about the message. Pray over what the Lord has said. It's good to pray before the service and ask the Lord to prepare your heart, to make you ready. Ask the Lord to speak. Ask the Lord to give the preacher help and power. And I encourage you to come to the prayer meetings before the services, the meetings this week. That would help you to prepare. You might profit, you might be the better for it at the end of the week. But remember that that's not all. Just praying before the service or before the message, you can and you should pray after the sermon as well. You think of the Bible word meditation. Meditation is prayerful consideration of the Scriptures. The Bible says of Isaac, whenever the caravan was approaching, the servant coming back with the bride, coming back with Rebecca, that Isaac was going out into the field to meditate. The word meditate there in the margin is pray. So meditation is praying over the Word of God. It's praying over the things that God has said, the things that you have heard. Remember Mary, at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus, after the visit of the shepherds, she pondered all these things in her heart. It's the same thing. The same idea. She kept all these things in her heart. Pondering is meditating on the Scriptures. And that's what's needed, brethren and sisters. We need to take time to think over the truths that we read and the truths that we hear. And that's something that's encouraged in the scriptures. Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." That's really covering all the day, the entire day, not just a Sunday. We're to meditate upon God's law day and night. The psalmist said the same thing, the first psalm. Meditate upon God's law day and night. Paul said to young Timothy, meditate upon these things. So it's clear. The consistent message of the whole Bible is that God's word should be meditated upon, prayed over. There's an old saying, read it through, and then you need to pray it in. And when you live it, or when you read it through and you pray it in, the next step is to live it out before the world, the ungodly generation in which we're found. You can pray for more light, more understanding. Make that your prayer coming into this series of studies this week. Psalmist, we sang from Psalm 119 earlier in the psalm, verse 18. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold great, wondrous things from out of thy law." Make that your prayer. God will open your eyes. Things you've never seen before, things you've never fully understood before. Great things, wondrous things. God will show them to you this week. Job prayed, "That which I see not, teach thou me." Remember, he's in suffering. He's in trial. He's in affliction. And he's asking the Lord to teach him. Imagine that. Do you ever think like that when you're suffering? Periods of fiery trial. You want the Lord to teach you. You want the Lord to show you what he wants you to learn in such a time. One of the great stories of the Westminster Divines, but a young man called George Gillespie, perhaps the youngest of the divines that was responsible for drawing up the Westminster Standards, one of the commissioners from Scotland. Remember that not everybody that was at the Westminster Assembly representing the various churches was sound in doctrine. There were those there who were Erastians. Erastianism is bringing the influence of the government into the church. They are two separate entities. Erastians want the government to influence the government and the discipline of the church. There was a man called John Selden. There was another man, Whitlock. They were both Erastians. Selden was very eloquent. He was up speaking, trying to sway the assembly in that direction. And Samuel Rutherford said to young George Gillespie, "George, for the sake of Christ and his church, stand up and say something." He knew how able young George Gillespie was. And without any preparation, without any notes, he stood up and made a very strong defense of the teaching of the Word of God, swayed the assembly in the opposite direction. They saw afterwards that he just had a couple of little pieces of paper in his hand. They were Latin prayers, and those prayers were simply, "Lord, give more light, give more help." And those are good prayers for us. Remember, you don't have to pray long prayers, especially when you come to the scriptures. Just ask the Lord for more light this week. Ask the Lord for more help in your understanding of the scriptures. As well as that, you can pray that you'll see Christ. Never forget, men and women, he is the theme of all scripture. In a sense, the Bible is Christ's autobiography. Dr. Douglas, with us on Monday night, preached with such liberty and power. We're thankful for that. Amazing. A man of his age. His love for the Hebrew language is greatly known. He taught us the significance of the Hebrew letters. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a special significance. The Beth, the second letter, Aleph, Beth, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is the letter associated with the sun, S-O-N. Under inspiration, it's the very first Hebrew letter in all the Bible, the very beginning, the book of Genesis, 1 verse 1. The lesson, this is a book about the sun. God, by his Spirit, by inspiration, has put the stamp upon the book that this is a book about his Son. It's a book all about Christ. Search the scriptures, the Savior said. They are they which testify of me. Always remember that. The prominent message of the Bible is Christ. The Greeks said, we would see Jesus. Make that your prayer this week. Pray for a sight of Christ. There's two prayers we should pray as we read the Bible. Show me myself, and then show me thyself. So we encourage you to do that. The final thing I'll mention, our response, as we hear the Word of God, is submitting. Submitting to the Word of God. If you look at verse 21 of the passage, and he answered, that's the Savior, and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Word of God and do it. Notice the two parts. It's not just a case of hearing, but he says, these which hear the Word of God and do it. Remember what Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that's the way to read the Bible. That's the way to sit in a meeting under the ministry of God's Word. Whatever it is that God says in his message. Remember, what God says to you may not be what you want to hear. God doesn't always speak to us. The message that God has for us is not always the message that we want. It mightn't be the message that you thought God was going to have for your heart and for your circumstances. It might not be what you liked to hear. But the teaching of the Scriptures is, whatever it is, whatsoever he saith unto you, you're to do it. In other words, you're to obey it. You're to have an obedient heart. You're to seek to carry it out in your life. You're not to think about it. You're not just to talk about it, debate it. But you're to do it. I read recently the story of the hymn, In the Will of God We'll End the Meeting With, Trust and Obey. A young lad saved in Moody's meetings. He was a little bit uncertain about the way ahead. And he said, the Reverend Psalmist was listening, I'm trusting and I'm obeying. And that's the way, brothers and sisters, that's the outlook, the attitude. When you hear the Word of God, we're to trust what he says and we're to obey what he says. Do you know why that is? Do you know why we debate and argue so much about some of the messages that we hear? It's because we don't want to submit. We don't want to submit to God, to his Word and to his will. So we argue. We debate the message. We debate, does God really say that? Does God really mean that? Is that what that verse really means? And yet all the while we know in our hearts that that is exactly what it means. And that's exactly what God is saying. The problem is one of attitude. The problem is we just don't want to obey the voice of God. We don't want to submit to the authority of Scripture in our lives. Whatsoever he saith, see the breadth of it, men and women, whatever it is he saith to you, you're to do it. Mr. Moody, illustrating that point, said, if God told me to jump out that window, I would do it. A little bit of extremity maybe in his thinking, but the point he was making was, he was totally surrendered to God. He was fully submissive to God's voice and to God's word. So the question is, are you? We sing the words, what he says we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Did you think about what you sung? Do you mean it when you sing it? Remember, we're to be doers, not just hearers of the blessed Word of God. We're to be doers also. We're not just to come and listen. That's right and necessary. We're also to obey the commands of God in our lives. The Savior said, if ye love me, if that's your testimony, that's your profession today. If ye love me, then keep my commandments. obey my commands, do the things that I've said. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Sometimes we like to make it known very loudly to everybody. I'm a Christian, you know. Well, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You don't do the will of God. You don't obey the scriptures in your life. So this, brethren and sisters, is a little of how to respond to God's word. Searching, supplicating, and submitting. Can I close just by stressing the warning of our text? Take heed, therefore, how you hear. It's not very relevant, very appropriate at the beginning of this week for all in the will of God that lies ahead of us. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Take heed, in other words, that you listen, and that you listen well, and that you give God's word your fullest, your deepest attention and consideration, and you're not to be careless or casual, not to be such a listener. You're not to be a forgetful hearer or a mere sermon taster. We're to take heed how we hear. And as we hear these men and women are the responses to that message that God is looking for. Remember that the ultimate part of worship, the climax of all worship, is our response to the word of God. I want you never to forget that, however long you live upon this earth. We're here today to worship God. We've gathered in this house to worship him. The climax of all our worship is our response to what he says, is our response to his word at our hearts. So how do you respond to the word of God? Take heed how you hear. Take heed, men and women, how you listen to the scriptures. 467, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. We'll sing verses 1 and 5. We quoted from verse 5 a little earlier. Just think of the words as you sing them. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll talk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. So 467, verses 1 and 5, will stand to sing, please. Father, we thank you for bringing us to thy house today. We praise thee for the good word of God. want to thank you, Father, for the message that has gone forth. Save us today from being forgetful hearers. We pray for grace, Father, that we might ever do those things that you say to us. Give us grace to do the word and the will of God. We pray, Father, that every day we'll be found in the way of thy commandments, that every day we'll be found in the very centre of your will. We ask thee to own this incoming week. We pray for the touch of God to be upon it. Even more, Father, we want to pray that through these messages that the touch of God will be upon our lives, the touch of God upon our hearts. Pray that every one of us at the end of this week will be able to say, he touched me. Lord, hear our cries. Go with us now. Bless us through the remainder of this day. We want to pray that unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, be honour and glory both now and evermore. Amen.